Every Halloween, I can't help but go back to my childhood. When I was in the church, of course, we don't trick or treat, we don't celebrate Halloween, but what we would do, so we didn't want to have to deal with the trick or treaters. We didn't want them to know that we were home. So what my mom would do would put blankets up in front of all the windows. And then we would hide out in the back of the house, and we'd watch movies, but we'd be really, really quiet. And sometimes we would actually run up to the window and then peek through the window to see the trick-or-treaters. We actually had that. We would always call them the trick-or-treaters. And then when they would knock on our door, and we'd have to see who the trick-or-treaters were, but then we had to be careful that no one saw us because they couldn't know that we were home. Well, that went on for a couple years, and I grew up, and then, of course, I was never home on Halloween, didn't have to worry about them. Then when our kids were born, we did something very, very similar. But here in Georgia, what we do now is we turn off all the lights in the house, and we end up with a family movie night. We go back into our back bedroom, close the doors, buy all this junk food, all the junk food imaginable, and then come up and watch a movie or two. But, you know, the interesting thing is, it's a great family time, I can tell you that. But one thing I can tell you, in the 15 years we have lived in Georgia, we have only had one trick-or-treater come to our door. And we'd peek out looking for the trick-or-treaters. But it turns out we only saw maybe two or three, and this is the whole time we've been here, walking through our neighborhood. Well, from what I come to find out, my neighborhood is not the neighborhood to go if you want candy. There are other neighborhoods, and ours is not one of them. But we still do it anyway. It's family tradition because we want to make sure we don't do anything involved with Halloween. But Halloween is a very big time for children. So with candy, costumes, and kids, what is not to like? It's very family friendly, is it not? Well, if you look at it, though, Halloween is a total contradiction. I don't know about you, but I really don't like the Halloween season, especially when I have to drive north on I-75, because they have that big billboard that advertises the haunted house up near Forsyth. And I don't know if you've noticed it. It really, to me, I find it very troubling because there's a guy's picture, and he's got a pig-type nose with the pointed, bold ears, and it's a really ghoulish kind of scary thing. And then they pound you with all of the horror classics or horror movies, you know, on Netflix, Amazon Prime, or even cable TV, regular standard TV, they show all the haunted ones. So I decided, let's go look at some of these winners. Halloween, the movie Halloween that came out in the 80s. And it's described as serial killer Michael Myers terrifies audiences with his frightening mask and relentless brutality. Friday the 13th is another one they push. A pedophile who was murdered by a lynch mob returns years later into terrifying nightmares of his killer's teenage children. Ugh. Then there was another one I found, Malicious. I've never heard of it, but the description was, a pregnant newlywed suffers traumatic events. She finds herself haunted and connected to a malicious entity that has possessed her unborn child. Ooh, awful family-friendly, isn't it? But on the other hand, like I mentioned, you have, you know, it's a big event for kids. They take family photos. They dress their kids up like pumpkins. And in fact, when Ryan was only 1 year old, I had a buddy of mine at work said, hey, Tom, so you're going to take your kid out trick-or-treating this year? And I said, no, we don't do Halloween. And he said, oh, you'll take him out next year. Your wife will want to. And I said, no, we're not going to. It's satanic. And you know, his response to me was, yeah, that's the thing I don't like about Halloween. I don't really like the satanic portion of it. But he was pushing me to go and take little Ryan at a year or two trick-or-treating in his little trick-or-treating costumes. Cute. But it's also one of the biggest commercial holidays of the year, second only to Christmas. And actually, from what I found was a 1/4 of all candy sold during in the United States in a year, 1/4 of it is sold during the Halloween trick-or-treat season. And I found an article in the LA Times by a gal named Patrice Apoka, and it's entitled, "Commercialism is the Scariest Part of Halloween." Now, in here, she says, customer spending is predicted to be on the tune of $6.9 billion. And that's for costumes, gleeful decorations, candy, photographs, you know, the like. But what she also does mention is, and this is a quote from that article from her, "Indeed, it's not if Halloween's origins are naturally evocative of wholesome and family-originated fun." So we all know that the origins are pagan. Irony in this vein, I was having a conversation with two friends at work. One was a Baptist, one was an atheist. And the day after Christmas, November 1st, he asked us both if we did trick-or-treating, gave candy out to the kids. My Baptist friend puffed out his chest and he said, "No, we went to our church's harvest festival." And the atheist friend of mine, and he walked off, my atheist friend said, "Hypocrite, absolute hypocrite." He got angry and he says, "You know what? He will, a couple months later, keep Christmas, and they're both pagan. It's hypocrisy." And so I told him, "Mike, that's why I don't do either." And he took a step back and he said, "Boy, Tom, your kids are deprived. So you can't have it either way. You know, do you want to keep it because it's a pagan? Should you not keep it because it's pagan, or should you keep it and complain about it being pagan?" It goes. So what I decided to do today, after some of that introduction, I decided, because Halloween is tomorrow night, let's review where it actually all came from. Just as a full-on review. Now, to start with, as a preface, I'm not going to cite any of my sources, mainly because of the fact that they are so easy to find. It doesn't matter if you go to the encyclopedia to find it, if you go to historychannel.com, go anywhere, they will all give you the exact same information. Now, first of all, where does Halloween come from? And it comes from the Celtic festival called Samhain. And it goes back at least 2,000 years. And the Celtic festival, Samhain, is actually spelled Samhin. Now, a little bit of a background about the Celtics, or the Celts. The Celts were a group of tribes that lived mainly over in Western Europe. They were in Spain, France, England, and what they're really famous for is living in Ireland. And what we know them for, by the way, just as a side note, is they're famous for building Stonehenge. And additionally, we're also very familiar with them, or we may not be, but they're also famous for the fact that they originated and came into what's known as the Gaelic-speaking Irish. But either way, there were a series of tribes that were all over Western Europe. But the thing about the Celts, they were very religious. And their priesthood were called Druids. Now, the Druids are very popular, are very well known for worshiping everything. Literally, they worship everything. God is in the rocks. God is in the trees. God is in the water. And actually, the ironic thing is today, it was in the stars, in the harvest, you name it. There was a God in it, and the Druids worshiped it. And the ironic thing is, it's making a comeback. It really is making a comeback. I ran into a friend at work back in California. Maybe that tells you where it's coming from. She believed in a gods of the water, and I thought, "Oh, so you're a druid?" And she said, "Oh yeah, pretty much," which is kind of surprising. But anyway, back to Samhain. It's a celebration. It was a Druid or Celtic celebration of the break between the warmth of the summer and the cold darkness of winter. And it was also associated with death, the dead relatives. Now, the Druids believed at that particular time, and they would celebrate it right around October 31st or November 1st, right in that time period, that it became kind of fuzzy. It became like a fuzzy realm between the land of the living, the physical realm, and the spiritual realm. And the evil, or the spirits, in particular the evil spirits, or even your dead relatives, could actually cross over into the physical realm. Now, they were concerned about all the evil spirits coming across and wreaking havoc on their crops, on their houses. So as a result, what they would do was build huge bonfires to protect themselves from evil spirits. And then they would also leave out sacrifices of crops, animals, as a sacrifice to the deity, or as a way of appeasing these evil spirits to hopefully minimize the malicious damage they would produce. They would also light candles and put them along the road to help guide their deceased loved ones back to the spirit realm. And additionally, the Druids, the priests, also believed that it was a time, at that particular time, when the realm between physical and spiritual became blurred, that they could actually foretell the future. And what they would also do was they would put on animal costumes, kind of like what we're familiar with, you know, animal heads, animal clothing, and dance around the sacred bonfire. Well, the interesting note is, 2,000 years ago, in that particular area of Ireland, the Romans were also there. And it turns out that Samhain was also a combination of two Roman festivals. So it was a combination. First of one was Feralia, and it was a festival that they celebrated in October. And this all blended in, by the way, and it celebrated the passing of the dead. And the next one was a festival to a female goddess of the trees and fruit, and to the goddess Pomona. And an interesting note here is the symbol for Pomona is the apple, which, by the way, is the origin of the bobbing for apples during Halloween celebration festivals. Now, an interesting note back at that time as well, a couple hundred years later, this was like, by the way, the sources I find, this is like 43 AD when they were there. And by the way, that was shortly after Christ died. Now, about 500 or 600 years later, the Catholics come on the scene and they put their thumbprint and mark on it, which is not surprising. In 609 AD, Pope Boniface IV dedicated the Parthenon in Rome in honor of the Christian martyrs and declared November 1st, actually it was May 13th, declared it All Martyrs Day. A number of years later, Pope Gregory III changed it to honoring all saints. Hence, we get the term All Saints Day on November 1st. And moved it to November 1st. So that begs the question, why move it? Well, the Catholic Church, Christianity was spreading, and it was spreading up to the Celtic world, and they wanted to convert the Celts. And instead of saying, you can't keep Samhain, they blended the two. They actually blended the two. So again, the bottom line is they were trying to convert the Celts. They would still, and they incorporated, by the way, and they copied the Samhain practices of building big bonfires, dressing up as saints, angels, and devils. And All Saints Day in the Middle Ages was actually called All Hallows, which, as we know, then All Hallows Eve, which was the night before, which was the Solstice celebration, which then kind of got morphed into what we know as Halloween. Now, the story does not end there. The Halloween then migrated to the United States of America, which I thought was kind of interesting. It was not popular in the New England states, and that was because the religious conservative Puritans were up there. And Christmas, they didn't do Christmas, they didn't do Halloween, they didn't do any of that stuff. But it was more popular, actually, according to my sources, in Maryland and South, and in particular into the southern states. But because of the religious, they wanted to make it more family-oriented, and it turned into a harvest festival and a party. Hence, a lot of people attend harvest festivals. Softer name, same thing. Now, that brings up the point. What is one of the major things associated with Halloween? Trick-or-treating. Where did it come from? There are actually two things about trick-or-treating. The first one that we know about, the first one that we're very familiar about, it was a practice borrowed from Europe of acting mischievously. People would run around and then they would say, hey, I'm going to teepee your house, or I'm going to do some vandalism if you don't give me a treat. And there was also something else that was associated with that as well, and that goes back to the Druids' fortune-telling. There was a custom, a little-known custom, that young men at the time, or young women at the time, could go door-to-door on Halloween, and by doing tricks with yarn, apples, and various other things, they could actually conjure up the appearance or the name of their future husband. But the other side of the coin was a little more friendly, and it comes from England, from the All Saints Day. Now, in the All Saints Day, in England, they would have a parade, and the poor at that time would go out and beg for food. And instead of all of the vandalism, the Catholic Church endorsed something called soul cakes in exchange for prayers of the relatives. And this practice, encouraged by the church, was a way of replacing the leaving of food and wine around the road and around the countryside for dead evil spirits. But it was the exact same thing. But in the late 1800s and the 1900s, especially in the United States, people didn't particularly like all of the demonic portions of it. So what they did was made it more family friendly into the Halloween that we know today. So they kind of masked a lot of the Druid practices and pranks, witchcraft and ghosts, and morphed it into cute parties for children. Now, one other last thing is, there is one eye and one image more than any other that dictates, or that tells you, or that marks the coming of Halloween. And that is the ghoulish image on a jack-o'-lantern. Now, that one is kind of an interesting story, because initially that jack-o'-lanterns, as we know them, come from Ireland. And initially, in Ireland, they would carve faces in either turnips or potatoes. And it was actually done in honor of a Irish folktale for a gentleman named Stingy Jack. So instead of trying to explain it, well, actually, what the story is and what the folklore is with Stingy Jack was, He invited the devil to have a drink. And Stingy Jack didn't want to pay for the drink. So he convinced the devil to turn himself into a coin and that he put in his pocket to use to buy the drinks. Once the devil did that, Jack pretended, decided to keep the money and put it in his pocket next to his silver cross to keep the devil from changing back to his original form. Jack eventually freed the devil under the condition that he would not bother Jack for 1 year, and that Jack should die would not, and when Jack died, he would not claim his soul. The next year, the devil came back, and Jack tricked the devil into climbing a tree, and then he put a cross on the tree that kept him down, and he decided that he made a deal with the devil not to bother him for at least 10 years. Now, when Jack died, of course, he was going to go up to the pearly gates, and God wouldn't let him in. And then he was going to go to hell, but Satan wouldn't want him, because of the tricks he played onto him. And so what the devil did is he sent Jack off into the dark night with only a burning coal to light his way. Jack put the coal into a carved out turnip and began roaming the earth ever since. Hence you have the custom of the jack-o'-lantern. Very much related to the devil. So, what is Halloween ultimately celebrating? First of all, the fear of evil spirits and the practice of warding off evil spirits. Secondly, Halloween is a celebration honoring the dead. Third one, Halloween, even though we don't talk about it much today, it has to do with fortune telling. And then the last one, because of the Catholic Church, is honoring the dead Catholic saints. Now it begs the question, should we keep it? And obviously the answer is no. But I have three reasons why we really should not be keeping Christmas. First of all, Halloween celebrates violence and the fear, violence, fear, and satanic spirits. First of all, then, let's turn to our Bibles, please. And we're going to read Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3 and verse 31. Did I got it wrong? Well, do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways, for the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, and his secret counsel is in the upright. Do I have the right one? Okay. The curse of the Lord is on his house of the wicked, but the blessed the home of the just. Well, I'm sorry, because this one, I had one that talked about, it was similar to this, but it talked about violence and God hating the violence. But we do know that. That goes throughout the entire scripture. In Genesis 6, the hearts of men were set on evil continually. But anyway, the second thing is we are not to go to sorcerers or celebrate sorcerers, witches, or talk to the dead. And this one I know I have right, so let's turn to Deuteronomy 18, please. Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18, and we're going to start in verse 10. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his sons or daughters pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft or soothsaying, or who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spirit, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God, for these nations which you shall dispossess listened to soothsayers and diviners, but as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. And now for the third one, the third reason, combining Christian practices or combining any two religious practices is called syncretism. We are not to combine anything that is not dictated in the Scripture with our practices in the worship of God. So let's go back to Deuteronomy 12. If you read through the book of Deuteronomy, God goes on and on about stay away from the practices of the land, stay away from idolatry. And in Deuteronomy chapter 12 and in verse 29, when the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess them, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise. And in verse 31, you shall not worship the Lord your God in that way, for every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods. For they burn even their sons and their daughters in the fire to their gods. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it, nor take away from it. So there you have it. So, are we going to be hiding away from the trick-or-treaters tomorrow night? I know, we will be. But hopefully this was a good review for everybody to realize why we don't do what we're not going to be doing tomorrow night. So, anyway, I hope tomorrow night no trick-or-treaters come to your door.